Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's good, party people? Jeff Pantridge, Big Daddy Cool Diesel, and you kicking it live at 5. That's kind of cheesy, wasn't it, Diesel? Kicking it live at 5. All right.
Because radio... Those radio cliches, man. They're everywhere.
Just like what's one of them like?
Getting the lead out.
Getting the lead out, yeah.
Going to mandatory Metallica.
Yeah. Tune in and rip the knob off. You ever said that one?
No. Like I've never said that one, but I will totally say getting the lead out on the show tonight.
Getting the lead out, yeah. Tune in and rip the knob off is my favorite. That's like old school. That's like classic rock guy.
Because then you could still turn that little plastic knob inside.
Yeah, that's true.
The actual knob, not the knob cover that we see, the actual knob.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
It's still twisting.
And I hate when people say, don't touch that dial. I'm like, who's got a dial? Like one guy, I love him. I mentioned him last segment. Stephen A. Smith. If you watch First Take, Stephen A. Smith will say, like, you know, he'll give his tease for the next segment. Then he'll say, like, don't touch that dial. When was the last time you touched a dial on a television set? come on, Stephen A., really?
15 years ago in my grandparents' house.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't get ESPN.
No, they did not. Message to Stephen A. Smith. I know you're a big fan of the show. I know you're listening. TVs don't have dials anymore. You can modernize that.
Most of the time you just say, hey, volume up.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Yeah, you don't even have to touch
anything. You don't touch a remote.
Yeah. So, don't touch that dial or rip the knob off. Yeah, and I love one great thing about radio, because I'm like a radio nerd. I just love the industry. And I love spoken word radio. I love sports radio. I love talk radio. I love music radio. I love like morning zoo type shows. I love all that stuff. And I even love, I listen to a lot of older music. I listen to a lot of like 70s music, a lot of like yacht rock stuff. So that's usually on like the classic hits station. Do you guys have a classic hit station in this building?
No, we don't.
Okay. Like the classic hit stations, the jocks are always just so cheesy. Yeah. They're the same person they were 30 years ago when those hits were originally hits.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, and they have the same cadence and they got the pukey voice and they have the same you can tell they're all reading from the same prep sheets and it's like, oh,
that's man. What people to expect.
Yeah, and
that's
I like
what you want to hear.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want. When I want my classic hits, you know, DJ to be hokey. Yeah, that's part of it. Like
you're listening to hokey music, you want hokey people.
Yes. Yeah, just lay it on thick, man. Yeah, more cheese the better. I love that stuff. Classic rock too. You know, I want my classic rock jock to sound like, do you guys have a classic rock station here? Yes. I want my classic rock jocks to sound like classic rock jocks. I want them to have that deep voice and I want them to say and rip the knob off. That's my thing, man. Love that stuff. So hopefully...
As you launch into the Eagles.
Yes. So we have the five sides at 5 right now. So make sure you rip your knobs off. Well, wait a minute. Rip those knobs off. And Big Daddy Cool Diesel has what we do at 5 o'clock here. We have the big stories that we talk about throughout the show, but there's lots of little side dishes too, lots of other things happening in sports, and we're going to get to them right about now.
That's right. Number one, a local newspaper says that Travis Etienne is among college football's best running backs.
Yes. And they got that story from the USA Today. And looks like Travis Etienne is ranked a number 2. Let me see. Oh, I can't look it up here. The local newspaper only lets you get a couple clicks, and then you can't read their
gotta
article.
I love it.
Yeah, that sucks. I was going to pull it up and actually read some of the article. But yeah, Travis Etienne was ranked number 2 according to USA Today, and their top 10 running backs heading into 2019 in the college football season?
I have the list up in front of me right now. Okay. Number one, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, who's a junior. Travis Etienne at Clemson. You got DeAndre Swift at Georgia, number three. Man. A.J. Dillon at Boston College, number four. Wow, that's...
These are good. These are good backs.
It's not going to help Boston College that much, but still.
Yeah.
And then Eno Benjamin at Arizona State, number five on the list.
Yeah. These are some good backs. And will this be a year that a running back wins a Heisman? It seems like it's a. It seems like it's been a quarterback's award for a while now. We'll see if a running back can do it. Tell you what, Travis Etienne. This I'll tell you. This is why he could be a dark horse candidate for a Heisman Trophy this year, because Clemson's going to smoke everybody. You got Trevor Lawrence coming back for year two, full offseason with the team as the guy, as the starter. The ACC being as weak as it is, they're going to run the ball a lot. And obviously, you know, they'll bring in their second and third stringers. But Etienne, I think he's in for a monster year with Clemson.
Would you like to see a more concerted effort to give the Heisman to more players than just quarterbacks?
Oh, of course, yeah. Give it to
spread
the best player.
Spread the love.
Yeah, I'd love to see defensive guys get it.
Yeah.
Why don't more defensive players get it? And, well, the game is geared towards offense now. And it's geared towards quarterbacks. It's kind of hard to not give it to a quarterback because the quarterback throws 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, and the running back only gets, like, 1,200 yards because they're just not getting the ball as much anymore. And the defensive guys are getting toasted by the quarterbacks. So it's like, can you really give a guy on defense a Heisman? It's rare for, like, defenders in college football, they rarely dominate a game. So it's hard. Like, well, there's only been one, right? Charles Woodson, I think, is the only defensive player to ever win a Heisman. Remember, the only reason he won it, though, he was amazing as a corner, but he also returned kicks.
Mm.
And he also played wide receiver. Like, it maybe if you get a defensive back that plays both ways, returns kicks, and, well, they don't have kicks anymore. They don't have kickoffs anymore, really. You know, like, and punts, there's not a lot of punt returns, so it's going to be tough. I just don't see, like, a defensive end getting it. But I could definitely see Etienne getting it, and he really came on towards the end of the year, especially in the college football playoff against Notre Dame and Alabama. He is fun to watch, man. He is going to be, I don't know if he's going to be a first-round pick, but he's definitely going to be a second round pick, and he'd be a guy that I would love to have on my team. He's electric, and he's going to be a very, very exciting NFL running back, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. He's going to be a very exciting running back for your Clemson Tigers. And Clemson is looking strong, obviously, heading into the 2019 season.
Side number two, Khabib Nurmagomedov wants, says,
what's his last name?
Nurmagomedov.
I don't know how to pronounce it either.
It's Nurmagomedov. Like, I believe.
Nurmagomedov. That's close. Yes. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Khabib says Conor McGregor does not deserve a rematch.
Okay. Did you watch the first fight? We talked about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I watched the first fight.
Yeah, it was just awful. He destroyed Conor.
Yeah.
I'm a Conor McGregor fan.
Conor's one of those, he's one of the cocky fighters who leaves his hands down by his waist.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I don't care how fast you are. Somebody's going to be faster than you.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to throw a punch faster.
Yeah.
You've got to go up 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
He's got to go straight out.
Yep.
And you have to react to it.
Yeah. It's just that Conor, he got destroyed by Khabib. It's easier to call him Khabib. I don't even say his last name. I can't pronounce it. But Khabib said Conor doesn't deserve a rematch. This is the thing. Technically, he doesn't deserve a rematch because he got destroyed. Like, the rematch is going to be just like the first match was. I'm a Conor McGregor fan. I love athletes that talk smack. I hate athletes that don't give you anything on the microphone when they just say we're taking it one game at a time or we're moving on to Cincinnati or whatever. That just drives me crazy. I love people with personality. I love athletes with personality. Nobody has a better personality than Conor McGregor in sports. That being said, he's kind of known more for his personality than his fighting. Yeah, he's a very good stand-up fighter, not very good on the ground. And Khabib is the best. He's the best grappler I've ever seen in mixed martial arts. He's undefeated. He's the dude's like 25-0, and nobody's undefeated in UFC. Usually you lose at some point, but I don't see this guy ever losing. He is a machine once he gets a guy on the ground. And what he did to Conor, he got him on the ground and he just punished him. He just punished him for two rounds, and Conor finally didn't have any energy left. He just basically like sucked the life out of him. And then he stood Conor up. And normally Conor would win that battle, but he was exhausted. So Khabib just started teeing off on him, choked him out, ended the fight, and Conor tapped, and game, set, match. And then you had the big melee afterwards. But this is what Khabib is doing. Khabib is smart. He's saying Conor doesn't deserve the fight, but the fight's going to happen.
He didn't say he's not going to get it.
No.
He just said he doesn't deserve it.
He said he doesn't deserve it because he's trying to sell that. And then eventually the fight is going to happen because it's going to make Khabib a lot of money. And Khabib will just kick his ass again. So Khabib wants that fight. It'll be the easiest fight he ever has. Unless if Conor can maybe catch him early, which I just don't see happening. And Khabib's Russian too. I don't think you can knock Russians out. They're just something they have
slap fights over there. That's a national sport.
Yeah. Oh man, the Russians are crazy. But Khabib, man, that guy is unstoppable right now. I think he's the best pound for pound fighter in the sport. And we will see that fight happen. And Conor will get murdered again.
Story number three, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby says there's a foundational mistake in all in the transfer portals that we ought to seek to fix. He says that all transfers should sit out for 1 year.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Why?
Because the idea was to help people who had a legitimate reason to transfer.
Uh-huh.
Transfer.
Sure.
Which is what, maybe 20? 30 guys a year.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are in the transfer portal right now?
Oh,
75% of them.
A lot more than that.
Coaches are going to have to re-recruit their rosters every single year to try to keep their depth in place.
Yep.
Guys are going to want to just up and leave for almost any reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see guys who are walking out on their teams because they're not getting playing time.
Yep.
And saying that they're having hardships. It's added a whole extra element of fake and BS to the sport.
It's free agency, baby. It's great. It's good.
And why?
We love free agency.
Why is it good?
Because it adds more interest to the sport. That's why they did it. We love free agency, man. NBA free agency is better than the regular season.
The interest is in how it's screwing up the sport.
I don't think it's screwing up the sport, though. It's interesting to us as fans, as broadcasters. It's certainly interesting because we get to report on all this stuff. And to me, I disagree. I think it gives these kids deserve to go wherever they want. And if they're not getting playing time somewhere else, if they're not getting playing time at a certain university, say they go to Alabama and Alabama's just a football factory and you can't get above the two guys in front of you, you should be able to move on somewhere else. What Jalen Hurts should be able to move on and play the next year if he's not going to be able to beat out Tua, because they don't know these universities anything. These universities certainly don't care about the kids. I'm on board with it.
They don't owe the university anything, but the university giving him room and board, giving him an education, meals, the absolute best physical training equipment and nutrition that they can receive for a 4-year period. That's nothing. That accounts for nothing.
It's something, but it's not.
So then, you can't say that they don't owe him anything at all. I say sitting out 1 year is a fair trade for that.
Yeah. If you guys want to weigh in, this is a good conversation to have. You can hit us up on the phones. 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. The transfer portal, should it be no time, or should it go back to 1 year, like the commissioner of the Big 12 says? Diesel thinks it should be a year. I think they should be free to go whenever they like. What else we got, Diesel?
Story number four, it looks like the Lakers are the leader in the clubhouse right now for Anthony Davis.
All right. Yeah, I saw that today as well. I saw that Woj was talking about it. It makes sense. I mean, yesterday we had it that the Lakers and the Knicks were the two teams that he was looking at. And you also have to think about the Celtics as well, because the Celtics have all those pieces. The Lakers have pieces, though. And the Lakers have the number 4 draft pick. And I know that New Orleans would love to get that pick. And maybe I don't know if RJ Barrett's still going to be there at 4. He probably won't. It looks like he'll be the number 3 pick. But that being said, LA seems like a good fit. And LA needs to do whatever they can to get Anthony Davis there. They need to get rid of all those other players that they have. Yes, Kuzma's good, but LA's got a bunch of guys like LeBron James. They got a bunch of passers, and they don't have any shooters, and they don't have a real good big man. If you can get Anthony Davis in there, who can play off of LeBron James, have that inside-outside game, kind of like Shaq and Penny did back in the day, Shaq and Kobe, then you get a spot-up shooter or two on the Lakers, then you have something. So they And I'm sorry, Lonzo Ball and all these other kids, like even Kuzma. Kuzma's nice. He's all right. But, I'd get rid of him in a New York minute along with a bunch of other guys to try to land somebody like Anthony Davis.
And story number five, there is lots of information swirling about Kyrie Irving in free agency.
Yes, Kyrie Irving has opted out. He's of course he did. Yeah, he is not signing the one-year deal for $30-something million with the Celtics. He is going to test the free agency waters, as he should. It'd be stupid not to. So we'll see. We'll see where he lands. I think Kyrie just needs to go somewhere. I think he would be a decent fit with LA as well. I don't know if they're going to be able to get LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie. You can't pay three guys the max. But if Anthony Davis doesn't go to LA, then Kyrie and LeBron together again, that would make sense. Or Kyrie could just go somewhere, go to a bad team and jack up a bunch of shots and get paid. Go to the Knicks or something like that and do that. Anyway, do we have one more, Diesel?
That's five.
And we did five? Oh, that was fast. All right. Thank you very much. Looks like we got a couple of calls rolling in. Let's get Connor on the line. Connor wants to talk about these transfer rules. Welcome to the show, Connor.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I'm with you. I think I think you should have to sit. I mean, unless there's like a huge reason. I think maybe if a coach leaves, then you can go somewhere else. But, when I look at it, you're getting – like, yeah, you get a nice gym, you get to live on campus, but you're also getting, if you get accepted to that school and you're not an athlete, if you're in-state for Carolina, for instance, you're paying like $9,000 to go there, or if you're out of state, you're paying like 35 or 40. I mean, you're getting a discount on your education. You're getting a free, you don't have those student loans. You don't have anything to worry about if you don't go pro. You can sit there and get a free $40,000 out-of-state education for 4 years. I mean, that's $160,000.
Sure.
So, I mean, you kind of owe the university something.
I get what you're saying, but if you want to be if you want to go pro, you got to get out of there and you got to find a way to go pro. You're never going to go pro, or you're rarely going to go pro if you're sitting on the bench. The only time I've ever seen it happen was with Matt Cassel at USC, where he never started and he still got drafted by the Patriots.
How many of those guys that they're not good enough to play at Georgia or South Carolina? They're coming to our school and then they transfer to Gardner Webb for playing time. How many of those guys are going pro?
Not if they're going to Gardner Webb, but what if Kelly Bryant? Let's use Kelly Bryant as an example. He's going to
be like a fourth or fifth round draft pick.
But he'll be a draft pick. If he just stayed at Clemson and he didn't play, he probably wouldn't even get picked. At least now he has he control his own destiny. He's got his own destiny in his hands, and he can play, and it's up to him. Where he's probably not going to be a first round pick. I agree with you, but I guarantee you, if he's sitting on the bench, if he's riding the pine, he's not going anywhere. And what Jalen Hurts too at Oklahoma. You tell me if you're Jalen Hurts. If you're Jalen Hurts, would you rather sit on the bench behind Tua or go into Lincoln Riley's system and be the latest Oklahoma quarterback to light it up? It's a great opportunity for him.
Well, I think what Connor and I are both saying, that there's nothing wrong with transferring.
Yeah.
It's you just can't be able to transfer willy-nilly without any rules. Go wherever you want, whenever you want. How many quarterbacks have we seen bounce between 3, 4, 5 schools in search of playing time? That just means you weren't good enough. If you weren't good enough to win the starting job at two schools, either you made a bad choice with both of those schools because you had no clue what their quarterback situation or your position situation was when you came in, and you had no clue what the position situation was in the school you were going to. You went there because they have a big name, and it made you feel good to say, oh, well, I'm leaving Clemson, and I'm going to go to, I don't know, Michigan.
Well, what about the kids that go to a school, and then the coach gets fired, and they have a new system come in, and the system doesn't fit them? What do you tell these kids?
Sit out for a year.
No, I think you should have the right to play right away. I don't know. They don't. This is football. You don't have a year. You'll have a limited time to make as much money, hopefully, down the road as you can. I don't think you have time to sit out for a year.
We talk about player development all the time. What if you have to sit out another year? Sure, it's a hardship that you have to sit out a year.
Yeah,
that you can't play football for a year.
That's a year you can't make money in the NFL.
However, you put yourself in a position to be better by the time that you're there because you're a tall dude.
That's
because if
it,
you've transferred six times, you're a year-old dude playing college football who still has eligibility. Guess what? You should be able to go out there and crush.
I always love watching guys that are balding just crushing kids. Like, remember Chris Wenke?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Wenke was 47 years old playing at Florida State. It was ridiculous. It was like a man. It was truly a man amongst boys. It's like that was over the top, but he wasn't transferring. He just decided, hey, I'm 27. Let me go to college now. I don't know what was going on. Well, you played baseball.
It's a great story.
Yeah, I hated him.
I love Chris Wenke.
It wasn't fair, man, because I was I was in school at the time. I went to Florida, and he kicked our ass, you know? And, like, there was nothing we could do because we're a bunch of 18-year-old kids getting just mauled by this man. It's unfair, man. I hated that guy. And then he finally got to the NFL, and he sucked because he had to play against
payback.
Other men. Yeah.
Payback.
Yeah, Brandon Whedon. Remember him? That guy was balding. That guy was, like, fully bald and still playing college football because he was, like, 28 years old. And then he went to the league, and he sucked. So, yeah, I can't stand that. If you guys want to weigh in on that, you can. You can get us on the phone lines, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also text us, 71307. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the NBA Finals, and I'll also tell you why the Brooklyn Nets. I'll tell you why the Nets are my pick to land Kevin Durant. That's on the other side.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, this is a good band right here. It's a good old school band. A little Doors action. I like it, Diesel. Is it the Doors?
It's the Stone Temple Pilots version.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm down with that. Yeah.
Punched it up just a little bit.
Did the Stone Temple Pilots, do they have another singer? I wouldn't want to be their singer. It's kind of a...
They do.
All right. Yeah, because I don't know, man. That's kind of a bad luck deal. It's like if you become the Stone Temple Pilots lead singer... You're probably going to die.
Yeah, he's got a horrible name, by the way.
Oh, what's his name?
His name is Jeff Gutt.
Jeff
Gutt. Jeff Gutt.
Oh, his first name's glorious. Yeah. I love his first name. But his last name, Jeff Gutt, huh?
Gutt. I mean, dude, change it.
Yeah.
Rock stars are supposed to change. They're supposed to have cool names.
Exactly,
You say to yourself, wow, this kid's mother knew he was going to be a rock star because he gave him a cool name.
Yeah. Like Chester Bennington. He sounds like an accountant. I don't know. but Jeff Gutt. But Weiland. The Weiland's a cool name,
yeah. Right?
And well, Scott Weiland, but like still, like just going by Weiland, I'm like, yeah, that's a rock and roll name,
yeah.
Man. But Jeff Gutt, yeah, not so much. But what do you think he makes it through the year?
He sounds good. He's been with the band now for over a year.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah. All right. So he's made, you know, this isn't Spinal Tap where the drummers just spontaneously combust.
Okay. Well, I don't know, man. It's Stone Temple Pilots. The singers kind of do it too as well. I wouldn't touch it. There's no way. I think that role is cursed. But yeah, that's Diesel. I'm Pants, and we're filling in. I'm filling in. Diesel's always here with Sturge, but I am filling in for Mark Sturgis. Sturge is going to be back on Monday. He is sailing the seas of cheese. The old Primus album. No, he says sailing the Caribbean somewhere. I don't know. They're doing like a Disney cruise. So those are I'm not a big Disney guy, but there are Disney people and there are people that just aren't into it at all. And I'm just I'm not a Disney guy, but I am a cruise guy. I've always kind of I've been looking for odd jobs, just doing whatever. I love radio, but I love just doing goofy stuff, too. I've thought about like working on a cruise ship. Yeah, have you? I've never even been on. You have you ever been on a cruise before, Diesel?
I have not, but you wear Hawaiian shirts every day, so you're dressed for the part already.
Exactly, I'm dressed for the part, and I've always thought it would be kind of cool to be like an activities host on a cruise ship. So if anybody's work out there works at like Carnival Cruise or something, you know, and you want to give your boy a job, like I'll work on a cruise for a little bit. You still get a microphone. You still get to make people laugh, you know, and you don't have to pay rent. It's not a bad gig, man. Get to sail the seas.
It's an easy job. People came there to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't mess it up.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably find a way to mess it up. So if you were listening to the top of the hour, in all of our updates at the top and the bottom of the hour, there is some somewhat breaking news. If you haven't heard, KD, Kevin Durant, had his surgery. He did rupture his Achilles. We didn't know. We're all pretty sure. But we didn't know. It wasn't official, but he made it official. He posted on Instagram, at Easy Money Sniper. See, that's confusing right there, first off, because, like, shouldn't he just be, like, at KD Trey or, like, at Kevin Durant? Like, if Easy Money Sniper, I don't know what that means.
Just get at KD.
Yeah, at KD. Boom, there you
go.
Buy
it.
Yeah, and get verified and be good to go. But, yeah, he's at Easy Money Sniper on Insta. He posted an Instagram, and... Man, it already got like 1.3 million likes according to this. It's probably up to like 2 million likes now. I'm happy to get like 20. But like he posted, what's good, everybody? I wanted to update you all. I did rupture my Achilles. Surgery was today, and it was a success. Easy money in all caps. My road back starts now. I got my family and my loved ones by my side, and we truly appreciate all the messages and support we have sent our way. Oh, anybody missing there? Family, loved ones. Didn't mention his teammates. Mm-hmm. Huh, interesting. Like I said, or the organization, because I know he's got great relationships with Steph and Clay and a couple of the other guys on the team. Not so much Draymond and not so much Kerr. I don't know if he has the best relationship with Kerr, but it's interesting that he doesn't mention his teammates there. Like I said Monday, I'm hurting deeply, but I'm okay. Basketball is my biggest love. And I wanted to be out there that night because that's what I do. I wanted to help my teammates on our quest for a three-peat. Okay, he mentions the teammates there. It's just the way things go in this game, and I'm proud that I gave it all I physically could, and I'm proud my brothers got the W. Okay. It's going to be a journey, but I'm built for this. I'm a hooper. I know my brothers can get this game 6, and I will be cheering with Dub Nation while they do it. All right, so he has given his teammates some love. I was just ripping and reading what he posted on Instagram. But one thing I found interesting is, and I'm looking in to see if this guy did the surgery, but he went and saw a specialist in New York. I'm assuming it's the same guy that ended up doing the surgery, but the specialist works for the Knicks, or no, the Nets.
Hmm.
Yeah, the specialist works for the Brooklyn Nets.
Apparently, it's not that rare for players to seek outside medical counsel.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be. Yeah.
However,
yes,
the fact that this guy is a part of the Nets organization.
Yeah. It's a little fishy, right? I don't know. Like, first off, isn't that tampering? If you even tweet that, like, if Doc Rivers tweets that Kevin Durant is good at basketball, Doc Rivers gets fined like $50,000. But the Brooklyn Nets can perform Achilles surgery on him, and that's not tampering? I think that's more tampering than talking about someone. These tampering rules in the NBA are just stupid. But I guess... You could get medical advice from a doctor from another team, and that's totally okay. And I think that's kind of convoluted myself. But I think that could be very telling. First off, I get it because he obviously doesn't trust the Warriors doctors, you think? after they cleared into play and then he pops his tendon Achilles, 10 minutes into the game? Like, yeah, he doesn't trust Golden State's doctor, so he's going to go with his guy. But he's also been seeing this guy for a long time about other things as well. So he already has a built-in relationship with the Nets. So I think the Nets right now, if I had to bet on a team to sign him, I would go with the Brooklyn Nets.
At no point did KD say, maybe I should just go have somebody else do an MRI on this thing just to see what they say.
Good question. I don't know. You would think
month plus,
yeah.
Not once did he say, you know what, let me run down to the, you know, to the local office
sure,
over here.
Yeah.
This is Doctors R Us uh-huh. next door to my apartment.
I love Doctors R Us. Yeah.
And have them do it. See what they say.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I wonder if he did. Maybe. He had to. You would think. He's like ham and eggers like you and I get second opinions. You would think a guy like KD would when his body is his livelihood, when it could cost him hundreds of millions of dollars. So you would want to make sure you get the best doctors giving you the best treatment and get the most opinions as you can. I'm sure he got a second opinion. I would hope. But hey, maybe he didn't. But I found that very interesting that he's going to the Nets guy, and then looks like the Brooklyn Nets physician performed the surgery on KD. Well, and it's good to see that the surgery was a success. We wish him all the best. We're definitely hoping that he makes a speedy recovery, but speedy, but not too speedy. Like, don't rush back, KD. You know what I mean? Like, just make a recovery. We're hoping that you make a recovery. If I'm KD, I'm sitting out the entire year. Like, the Achilles is like 8 to 12 months, 9 to 12 months. The last thing I want to see is him rush back to, you know, play in the playoffs next year and have this happen again. Like, don't come back in the playoffs either. It's not worth it. Sit out for an entire year. That way, basically, you get like a year and a half. You get like 16 months before the next season starts. That's what I would do if I were KD, man. You can't risk your health moving forward. You know what I was thinking about with KD? I might have mentioned this on the show, but KD was kind of known as a brat before, and now he's likable. It's amazing how these stories change and these narratives change about athletes and teams. Kevin Durant used to be known as a brat. He used to be known as kind of a soft, and now he's known as a warrior, quote unquote, because he played and he gave it all for his team. And he's known
little
as
W, right?
Little W, yeah, yeah. He's known as a little W warrior. And he's known for being gutsy, and now he's a guy that you can root for. Like, whenever he comes back, he's not going to be he was probably the most hated player in the league, according to fans. I guarantee you, if you had a poll by fans 2 months ago who the most hated player in basketball was, I bet it was Kevin Durant. Now he's going to be one of the most liked players in basketball. It's just amazing how things turn. And Golden State, the team, was probably the most hated team in basketball, but now all of a sudden, with KD going out down, with Klay being hurt and missing a game, with them struggling in this series as much as they have, the Golden State Warriors have become lovable underdogs. It's a crazy world we live in. It truly, truly is. All right. Coming up next, by the way, you can weigh in on that if you'd like. You can give us a call at 844-477-3776. But coming up next, we got a brand new segment on the show. We'll debut it. It's called 2050. We'll explain what it is on the other side.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate. Jeff Pantridge. You can call me Pants. You can call me Jeff, as long as you call me at 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN. Or you can text us at 71307. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Big Daddy Cool Diesel, is also in the building, as the kids like to say. And I wanted to debut a new segment on the show. It's a little something we call 2050. And it's where we predict the future. Like, what will happen in the year 2050? It's only 31 years away. We might as well start talking about it now. And it's a good thing where you guys can chime in. Maybe if you want to, if you have some predictions in sports, predictions in life, you can get us on the phone lines. Like, for instance, Diesel, you ready? In the year 2050, Kevin Durant's mom will earn her 35th consecutive MVP award. She's the real MVP.
All right.
Yeah, she's the real MVP. So she's going to win her 30. It's going to be a record. Because I think, like, Peyton Manning has, like, four. Jordan probably had, like, four in basketball. Kevin Durant's mom is going to be the MVP, the real MVP, 35 years in a row.
Well, she's always the real MVP.
She really is.
My number five, the debate will no longer be LeBron versus Jordan. It'll be somebody who, not even born yet, versus LeBron as the GOAT.
Oh,
because.
Okay.
Because once somebody gets 20, 30 years outside of the league, they tend to leave public perception.
Yeah.
You know, the people who held on to Jordan as the greatest will all be too old and too tired to actually even have the debate anymore.
That's true.
It's like, you know, nobody ever jumps in and says, Wilt Chamberlain was the best.
Great point.
Nobody jumps in and says, Jerry West was the best.
Yep.
Because those guys are, you know...
Nobody's seen him.
Eating fruit cups.
Have you ever seen Jerry West play basketball?
No, yeah. None of us have seen it. And by then, nobody will have seen Michael Jordan play basketball. So LeBron will be the Jordan upon which that future star will be measured.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I can't wait to hear those debates. You know, you got to love that. Nothing better than a Jordan versus LeBron debate.
Back in my day, it was LeBron versus Jordan.
Yeah.
Who?
I wonder if it'll be LeBron versus LeBron James Jr. It could be that. I don't know. We'll see. And I don't know if he wants to do it. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, but he still wants to play with his kid at some point. I think that would be really cool if LeBron and his son played on the same team. But I think LeBron would have to be like 41, and he's already starting to break down. We'll see if LeBron can bounce back. Hopefully he can. All right, in the year 2050, we will be in year 31 of the next Boston sports curse. Yes, that's right. The Bruins are going down tonight, And the last time, who's the Patriots? The Patriots Super Bowl championship. That will be the last championship in the city of Boston for at least 31 years, hopefully.
Bold.
Yeah. I've had enough, man. They've had 12 freaking championships, Diesel. They're going for 13 tonight. This has to stop. It's 13 championships since 2001 for one city. It's just enough is enough. Can somebody else please win St. Louis?
You know, if I learned anything from Uncle Ben, it's that with great power comes great responsibility, and the people of Boston have no responsibility.
Uncle Ben, was that Ben Franklin?
No, Uncle Ben from
the rice
Spider-Man.
Guy?
From Spider-Man.
Oh, who's that? I don't know.
Spider-Man.
I know who Spider-Man is.
It's Uncle Ben.
Oh, he's got an Uncle Ben? Like,
yeah.
Does he make the rice, too? Or,
like, different Uncle Ben.
Okay. All right, so, like, Uncle Ben is like Spider-Man's Alfred?
Yeah, well, it's his uncle, yeah.
Okay, and what with great power comes great response. I've
heard that line came from Spider-Man, I assume it was Spider-Man 1, yeah.
Oh, man.
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 1.
I know that line. That's like a famous quote.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was famous because of Spider-Man. I thought it was like somebody important said it.
Who knows? Somebody else could have said it.
Yeah.
But
Uncle Ben, huh?
That's, yeah.
you'd think they'd come up with a better name, just like Uncle Bob or something. I don't know. Like, Uncle Ben's already taken, man. All right. So what do you got?
My number four, Cleveland will suck at laser ball.
What's laser ball is going to be
laser
the next
ball
big thing?
will be the sport of the future. Cleveland will be terrible at it.
That's your problem.
And they will waste the number one draft pick every single year trying to get better in futility.
Yeah. The number one. They'll have like coverage of the laser ball draft. Like they'll do it. They'll do it from New York City, and they'll have kids in suits. Like, walk, laser ball. I like that though. Laser ball. Football is gonna go away. Said this for a long time. Football is not gonna be the most popular sport in America in like 10 years because of the concussion thing. And maybe in 31 years, laser ball can take its rightful place at the top of the sports pyramid here in the United States. I'd watch laser ball. Yeah, I would definitely watch laser ball. Love me some laser ball. All right, in the year 2050, Bobby Bonilla will still be getting paid by the Mets. Yeah, dude's still getting paid. Like, he's still going to be getting paid in the year 2050. 31 years from now, Bobby Bonilla is going to be like 90 and still getting like $1 million a year. Must be nice. Good for you, Bobby Bo.
Well, for my number three, I'm actually going to defer to Kevin Noon on Twitter. He says that in the year 2050, Bartolo Colon will still be pitching.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, and he'll still be fat.
Yep.
Yeah, Bartolo Colon, he's like 40. He's got.
He will have
46.
Gotten skinny and fat all over again.
Oh yeah. Will he have the big head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll look like a walking bobblehead.
Yeah, I know. Because there's man, fat people. If you lose all that weight, man, you can't lose that head. Unfortunately.
He'll look like the Michelin man on Jack Skellington's body.
There you go. That's a good combination. Yeah. So yeah, I can see that. I could, because these crafty pitchers, they can pitch forever.
Yeah.
That's why, man, if I ever have a son, like, I'm going to make my son be a knuckleball pitcher just so he can pitch until he's 60 and just stack paper and cash checks. Bartolo Colon will be pitching in the year 2050. That's a strong one. I like that one. All right, in the year 2050, Dabo will be the most popular boy's name in South Carolina. Everybody's going to be naming their kids. There's probably a lot of Dabos out there. Are people naming their kids Dabo yet here?
I don't know. If anybody's named their kid Dabo or knows somebody who's named their kid Dabo, get in our text line, 71307.
Yeah, there's got to be some Dabos out there.
Gotta be. Yeah. Middle names at least.
Yeah, but I mean, go big or go home, man. Name your kid Dabo. Yeah, I would name my kid. If I were a Clemson fan, I would name my kid Dabo. Sure. Dabo's a strong name, man. We love Dabo.
My story number two that will be taking place in 2050, Tom Brady will be selling grills on TV in a shiny gray suit.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So that's his future. He'll be doing it badly.
Yeah.
Because have you ever watched George, like the early George Foreman attempts to sell his grills?
Oh, knock out the fat. Oh,
they were
yeah.
so bad.
They were bad. Yeah.
But he got better at it.
He did.
Later
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And I think that's Tom Brady's future.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, hey, George Foreman became lovable because of the grills. George Foreman, when he was in his heyday, like when he led up to fighting Muhammad Ali, he was known as like a kind of like a big mean guy. He yeah. was a big intimidating guy, and then he became this jovial fat guy that, you know, became the world heavyweight champion at 45 and sold grills to everybody in the world.
Yeah. I have one.
Yeah. Do you still use it?
Yeah.
Really?
Still use it.
Is it good? Like,
yeah.
I had one. I had one when everybody got one, like 20 years ago.
Mine's the big one that you can take the plates off of, and you can swap it out, and you can make waffles on it. It's got a flat iron. It's got the regular grill.
Okay, like waffles, I could see, because you can't really screw up a waffle. But the grill, like, I don't know. I want the fat. I don't want to knock out the fat. I want to keep the fat.
You want all the fat.
I want the fat.
That's when you take the collection tray and you just pour it right back on top.
Yes, or take shots. Yeah, I just drink it. Love, drink that fat in. Oh, yeah. It's good stuff, man. All right. Is it my turn or yours? I forgot.
It's yours.
All right. In the year 2050, I'll still be filling in for Sturge if he lets me. Yeah, like I'll be 31 years from now, I'll be 73 years old. Sturge will be a little bit older. And yeah, if Sturge calls and like he needs a dog sitter and a show sitter and a house sitter, I'm your guy, Sturge. I would love to fill in for you in 31 years.
In the year 2050, Americans will still hate soccer.
Yes, they will. Yeah, they absolutely will, no doubt. That's a little bit we like to call 2050. Thank you very much, Diesel. All right, we'll be back on the other side. It is ESPN Upstate. Jeff Pantridge filling in for Mark Sturgis. Just going to be a quick segment here before we get you set up for the top of the hour. I got a couple of tweets rolling in to @ESPN Upstate. Let's see. Juan chimes in. Steve, in the year 2050, Steve Kerr will win his 12th title as the coach of the Golden State Warriors. Riley Curry will be the finals MVP. Oh, look at that. His daughter. I like that one. @GS Eagles Voice. In the year 2050, Tom Brady will still be playing. I wouldn't doubt it. And @PaulCon67, in the year 2050, the batteries powering the bus will die, leaving the Cleveland Browns stranded at the side of the road to the Super Bowl in China.
We have one more from SWU Matt. Hunter Renfro will be in his fifth year as the Clemson head coach.
There you go. I figured it'd be, he'd be in his 55th year as the wide receiver of Clemson. Man, he finally left, huh? And I can't believe the Patriots didn't draft him. Ridiculous. All right, coming up next, this NFL team just can't get out of its own way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.